You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You see, Christmas is the time of year that we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, who, as most of us know, is the Savior of the world, the giver of life, the bringer of hope, and this is my favorite, the Prince of Peace, right? How ironic is it to spend more time complaining around Christmas than any other time of the year when Christmas is about the Prince of Peace? Isn't that ironic? I want to put it to you that at this time of year, if it makes you upset, if it makes you anxious or makes you angry, gives you anxiety, that perhaps Christmas has become about something else. About something else entirely. You see, this morning, Pastor Ed preached a great message in the 9 a.m. service and the 10:45 service. It was fantastic. Two great and full services. Man, God's doing a great thing. I want to encourage you to get that podcast, to listen to that podcast, all right? Listen to that podcast, Crushing Christmas, and find out how we need to reset our hearts back onto Jesus Christ for Christmas. And perhaps all that anxiety and fear and all that stuff that upsets you might disappear. Because as Pastor Ed said this morning, Christmas, isn't about your family. What's Christmas about? A family time? Nope, that's a lie. That came from all the retail people, because then you'd buy your family gifts. All right, do that. It's fantastic. Buy me a gift. Make it expensive. I'd love it, right? But Christmas isn't about your family. Christmas is about you and Jesus. All right? And if Christmas has got you anxious and upset and angry or worried, then you need to listen to this morning's podcast and reset your mind and heart back on Jesus Christ and what Christmas is all about. Can I get an amen in this place? Fantastic. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor of this church. I'm super glad you're here. This is only the fourth week that we've ran the evening service. So we feel blessed to have you here. Yeah, come on. It is good. I believe tonight there are more people here than there were when we first got to this building in our one service. So that is good news. But I am glad you're here and looking forward to seeing you again next week. Awesome. So now this time of year, right, we do get busy. Anyone been busy? Yeah, we do. Busy's all right, isn't it? Right? People freak out. I'm too busy. Like, come on, busy's good, right? What would you rather do? Just sit down and rot? Man, I like busy. Busy's how I do life. I like it, right? But here's the thing, like Lauren and I, we're busy. We get busy. We've just been away on a vacation. So I guess some of you are thinking, you're busy? Yeah, right. Come on now, right? It was hard to fit that in, right? Come on now, right? But you know what? All my busyness gets me a little bit, I feel a little humorous about how much this time of year freaks people out. How am I going to fit everything in? What am I going to do? All these dinners, all these parties, all these things. I'm like, man, this whole season is about peace and hope. And we all can feel so hopeless and restless at the peaceful and hopeful time of year. This is the very season that reminds a weary world that Jesus is King. This is the very season that reminds us all that we have a Savior, amen? We just sung about Him. That at any moment, in any circumstance, at any time, we can shift our focus from a performance-based life to an eternal and heart-based life. Isn't that amazing? So you ready for the word? Got your Bibles? Turn to Revelations chapter 2. Whoa! There it is! Whoa! Revelation. There we go. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Are you ready? To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write this. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I'd love for the Lord to say that to me. Anyone else? And how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles, but are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. This is all good news, right? But, someone say, what's the but there for? Yeah, but, I have this against you. You have abandoned the first love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the things that you did at first. This, my friends, is a wonderful scripture that explains to us the importance of remembering. This particular verse talks about remembering your first love. That first love you had with God, with Christ, when he came into your life, relieved you of your sin, your pain, your shame, your hurt, and gave you a new life. Remembering that love that you had at that time. So that got me to thinking, what would forgetting about that first love do? How would I respond, right? Because these people here, they were ticking a bunch of boxes, right? So it obviously didn't stop them performing. It obviously didn't stop them working. They were ticking all the boxes. So what would forgetting your first love do? I know in my marriage, when I forget about my first love with my wife, I begin to forget about the incredible attributes she has, the incredible passion she has, her great care and love. When I forget about her great attributes, I can easily forget about all the wonderful things that she does and has done for me, for our family, and for our friends. And when I forget about the way she loves and the sacrifices she's made, I begin to complain. And today I want to talk to you about what complaining will do to you, about what complaining robs you of, and how to overcome a spirit of complaining. Oh, are you ready? Yeah. Yeah, we went there from Revelations. Whoa. Sorry, Revelation, right? Got to say it right. This gets me thinking about the Israelites, right? Those cranky, complaining Israelites. If you've got your Bible and have spent any amount of time reading it cover to cover or on a Bible reading plan or just willy-nilly opening it up and going, Jesus, what do you want me to read? Boom. I don't know why people do that. I like to have a plan, but, you know, whatever. And I love it when people go, hey, God, what do you want me to do? They open their eye, they close their eyes, open their Bible, put their finger down. Yeah, God does want me to buy a Ferrari. But as I'm reading this, right, as I read all about the Israelites, I'm stunned every time I read the story of Exodus. How can people of Israel complain so much like they do? Have you ever read the story, right? If you don't know the story, right, God has literally just freed them from slavery. The God of the universe just tossed around the most powerful man on the face of the earth like a toddler with a toy and a bad attitude. God just tossed him around, boom, 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 and freed Israel from slavery. But they complain and complain and complain. It's amusing. How could they be so ignorant, so stupid, so forgetful? God didn't just humble Pharaoh. He broke his spirit and revealed Pharaoh's helplessness to the whole world. A slave people and their God left him and his nation in ruins and shambles. This display of God's power sent vibrations throughout the known world, inspiring fear and awe. How could they forget that? I think we do sometimes too, don't we? God does these wonderful things. And we step away and forget about it in the middle of a whole nother moment. But God's been blessing us and saving us and providing for us. You see, sometimes we do, but I know for sure they did. They had a spiritual disease. It's called spiritual amnesia. Well, that's what I'm calling it anyway. See, Israel's response to this deliverance from Egypt, you'd think would be praise and worship and wholehearted trust. But no, Israel responds with grumbling, complaining, murmuring, and quarreling. No water, Moses. Where's the beef at, Moses? I got blisters on my feet, Moses. What's the Wi-Fi password, Moses? Where's the Thanksgiving turkey, Moses? Where's the shower at, Moses? The line at the latrine is too long, Moses. Who died and made you boss, Moses? And of course, are we there yet, Moses? 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 Are we? Oh, I'm going to stop. I could go all night. I reckon that's how it felt for Moses. Are we there yet, Moses? Are we there yet, Moses? It's been a day and a half. The river, the water just crushed the armies of Egypt. Where is your trust gone? See, at one point, the Israelites would rather be enslaved with some form of security, whether it be in the form of a nice bed, someone telling them what to do instead of them having to figure it out, or a nice warm cup of coffee, or maybe they just preferred the security of having a Wi-Fi password than to be free and have to trust God to help them navigate this newfound freedom. But the thing is, when they had these things, the Wi-Fi password, the warm coffee, the checklist of things they had to do and not think for themselves, all they wanted was freedom. Spiritual amnesia sets in so quickly, it covered all of Israel's hearts, and so often they'd forgotten God's gracious and miraculous deliverance. I'm sorry, I don't need to keep saying it's you, but I feel like I do this. I feel like I do this so often. This spiritual amnesia, forgetting God's deliverance and His provision, it's a deadly disease. The people of Israel, on the heels of miracles the world had never seen before, with their pockets full of Egyptian jewelry, are grumbling at their less than 5-star accommodation in the desert. This wasn't just a headache-induced grumbling or low blood sugar complaining. Come on now. This was faithlessness. At its heart, they had forgotten their first love for the Lord. A heart that forgot about God's great love, His great passion, His great deliverance. They'd forgotten all about it, and this complaining set in. It's raining food. That ain't ever happened in my entire life. Ever. Like, I've done the thing where they hang candy on the stick and you whack it, right? That's the only time I've ever seen it raining food in my whole life, and that stuff will kill you quick, smart, and hurry, right? These guys, it's raining food, good food, and complaining sets in. Have you ever heard the story about the cowboy? The cowboy who was driving his truck down a dirt road, He had his dog in the back of his pickup truck. Probably a Chevy. It was probably a Ford because he crashed. And so he wasn't a real cowboy. He was a poser in his Ford. Had his dog in the back of his pickup truck. His faithful horse, his favorite horse in the trailer behind it. And he didn't negotiate the curve right. Maybe it was icy. Maybe it was just a Ford. And he flipped over his truck. And he flipped the trailer, and everyone was in bad shape. The horse, the dog, the cowboy, everyone's in bad shape, real bad shape. Someone say real bad shape. Now, sometime later, highway patrol officer comes to the scene, and being an animal lover, he saw the horse first, and it was just, you know, doing the noises horse make, which I'm not going to do. And hearing the distress of the horse, he realized that its injuries were serious. So he drew his revolver and he put the animal out of its misery. True story. He walked around the accident and found the dog also hurt critically. He couldn't bear to hear the dog whining and whining and whining and suffering so much. So he ended the dog's suffering as well. Finally, he located the cowboy who'd suffered several fractures in his chest, in his arms, in his legs. He's in a bad shape. He's been thrown out into the weeds, and the cop says, "How are you? Are you okay?" And the cowboy took one look at the smoking revolver in the trooper's hand and quickly replied, "I've never felt better." Because when you complain about stuff for too long, bad things happen, don't they? Right? You don't want to be that person complaining about everything. See, you will find that as a rule, those who complain the most about the way the ball bounces are usually the ones who drop the ball. And it's the same in life. Rather than be the person looking for things to complain about, how about this Christmas we spend a little bit of time examining our own hearts to see if maybe we've forgotten about the goodness of God in our lives. When that first opportunity comes for us to grumble about something, that this season of joy didn't quite tick for you. Maybe we could examine our own hearts and say, God, what is it about this thing that is making me so angry, so frustrated? What do I need to do, Lord God, to overcome this? God, would you give me peace? I've found that usually when I'm continually complaining, it's actually I who have dropped the ball. Anyone else found that? Now, sometimes we'll complain about something like, you know, my wife was backpacking in Europe and she was in a phone booth. This is before we were married. And she put her backpack down in a big puddle of urine. Now, I'd complain about that. Anybody else? Right? That would be annoying, right? There's some things it's okay, but I'm talking about checking your heart. You know, if you're the person, you've been at Christmas dinner for about 8 minutes and you've complained about 12 things. You know you've got a problem, don't you? It's time to examine your heart and figure out what's going on. Is it my heart that's lost perspective? Is it my eyes that have lost focus? Have you ever just stopped and listened to people complain? It's hilarious. Like the things people complain about at a restaurant, Lauren and I don't know if we're stalkers per se, but we love to watch people. We do. We're at restaurants and we're like, what are they talking about? I don't know. I'll try and listen, you know. And we'll just try and, we eavesdrop a little. We want to get to know people, you know. We want to know, what's this person? We're hoping that we discover a need that we can fill and bless. Mm-hmm. That's right. Aren't we, baby? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. See, you can turn all your sin into scriptural, you know, just blessing if you want, you know. But I love listening to the things people complain about because I've decided it's hilarious. I was reading some actual, like not even made up, official complaints from a tourism company's Facebook page. Are you ready for some? These are the best ones, all right? It's a tourism company. Are you ready for it? On my holiday in India, I was disgusted to find that almost every restaurant served curry and I don't like spicy food. I feel like that was their fault, right? Yeah, that was the Indian people's fault for sure. It's like going to America and go, I'm disgusted that everyone sells burgers. I actually was, wasn't I? A little bit. We got over it. We embraced the culture, right? We booked an excursion to a water park, but no one told us we had to bring our own swimsuits and towels. We have a solution for that in Australia. It's a different beach. That was beach, B-E-A-C-H, just in, yeah, good, in case the accent, yeah, anyway. The beach was too sandy. We had to clean everything when we returned to our room. Yeah, that's an unexpected problem to have when you go to the beach, isn't it? And I don't, what even is too sandy? What level of sand does not get into your clothes, right? Like, is it a grain of sand? Because it'll find you. It will, I will find you. You know, that grain of sand will find you, right? We found the sand was not like the sand in the brochure. That is definitely bad marketing. Your brochure says, your brochure shows the sand as white, but it was a little more yellow. Yeah, you take that one up with the creator. No one told us there'd be fish in the water. My kids were scared. I understand, right? Those fish, what are they doing? They should have put a sign up, no fish allowed. We went on a holiday to Spain and no one told us that every taxi driver speaks Spanish. Yep, be about right. I feel like they should have told you that before you went. It took us 9 hours to fly home from Jamaica to England. That was unfair, as it only took the Americans 3 hours to get home. See, I'm hoping some of these people won't even go there. We had to line up outside to catch the boat, and there was no air conditioning. Talk about first world problems. You're kidding me, the boat had no air conditioning? Get in the water under the boat. That'll fix your problem. And my favorite of all, we requested twin beds when we booked, but instead were placed in a room with a king bed, and now we hold you responsible and want to be reimbursed for the fact that I am pregnant. This would not have happened if you put us in the room we booked. I understand the problem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes separation is the best cure for the babies. Methinks these people need to remember how blessed they are. These sorts of people, these people who have been overcome with a spirit of complaining, you don't get to complain about one of those things without having a spirit of complaining, right? That is not, in the phone booth there was urine, it got on me, yuck. That's not that. That is the same person who complained that on the way in their own shoelace tripped them up. That's that person. That's the person who was walking along and hit their foot on a bit of ice because they weren't watching, slipped over, banged their head and said, oh my goodness, the whole world owes me something, right? That's these people right here, right? They want to find something to ruin someone else's day because I'm so bitter. If I can share my bitterness, maybe I'll only have half the bitterness. These people are the same people that have the hard attitudes like the Israelites. They'll only encounter pain. They'll only encounter hurt and fear and anxiety as long as they forget to ask the Lord into their lives. You got to remember that if you're saved, you need to refocus, right? If you're saved and this is how you've been living, you need to refocus. But let's be real. Someone who doesn't know Jesus, we should not be offended by their complaints and assume that people who don't know Jesus should act like they do, right? And see, I get frustrated sometimes. I'm lying. I start complaining about the people complaining when I'm preaching a message on complaining. It gets frustrating, right? People who complain all the time, right? Let's complain about them right now. No, let's not. But when you realize something, that people need Jesus. And people who don't have Jesus in their hearts act like people who don't have Jesus in their hearts. What a fascinating concept. And so I can sit there and be like, oh my gosh, this idiot acts like they don't know Jesus. You want to know Jesus, idiot? Like, it's not going to help. Right? I'm sick of you complaining. Meet Jesus. Stuff him in your mouth. It's not going to work. You need to ask God. In fact, God is hoping that you'll respond with kindness and encouragement, love and prayer for them, and hopefully an opportunity to share his grace and hope with them. And when they have that hope, God willing, their hearts will be reset and they'll understand the greatness of God and the insignificance of the sand in his underpants at the beach. Amen? Amen? Listen to these scriptures. Philippians 2:14 says, do all these things without grumbling or disputing. I just love a good conversation with people who dispute everything you have to say. And even smart people, like, you know, people who are smarter than me, you know, 99.5% of the population, above two. Even when they're smarter than you, it's like, you don't need to dispute everything. Scripture's really clear about this. Do you know how I know? Because it says here, do all things without grumbling or disputing. That's real clear to me. Some people just have this need to dispute and argue and complain about everything. Have a little faith, I say, amen? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Now, I want you to know that complaining will not create more friends for you. It won't, all right? Complaining about people won't make people think you're super intelligent and smart. Complaining will not generate a higher respect in others' hearts for you. Complaining will not turn people's ear towards you, but away from you. And complaining will rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your joy. In fact, I believe complaining is our way of saying, I choose to let this situation rob me of my joy. What just happened? Just so you know, it's going to take my joy. It's going to snatch it right out of my heart. It can have it. It can have it. See, as I was finishing my sermon, I looked out my window. I saw this picture, right? It's not fascinating by any means. It's just a picture of two speakers' shadows. You see it? And I saw those speakers. No, is that picture? Thumbs up if it's coming. Thumbs down if it's not. That's good? Okay. I looked out my office window upstairs over there. I'm looking out, and I saw all these birds, right? I was finishing my sermon. It was about to finish, about now. But then I saw these birds out there. And I got to thinking about those birds. They looked happy. They looked really cheery. I could even hear them chirping out there through my window. Because they're all like flying around everywhere and they're eating all the worms, which is pretty exciting. Like, anyone eating good few worms? Like, these guys are loving it out there, right? And then I got to thinking more about what Jesus said about the birds. He says, look at the birds and remember, he takes care of them. he takes care of them. So I was thinking more about these birds. I'm like, man, birds are always happy, right? You ever heard a bird just like getting angry? Like they're happy, right? They're in the tree, they're happy, they're singing away. There's angry birds, yeah, that's true. Admittedly, they stole their babies, right? Don't do that and you'll be fine, right? They're cheery. They're chirping, right? They're happy. And I know at our house, after a storm, even in the middle of the storm, they're singing away in the trees. I'm like, bird, don't you know it's stormy outside? But the birds are like, whatever. I'm good. This is great. I'm not letting a storm take my joy. I'm singing away. So I got to thinking what we could learn about these birds. Because Jesus is telling us to look at them, so why? It seems to fit the story. We're worrying about stuff, complaining about stuff, and he goes, look at the birds, right? God takes care of them. God takes care of them. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Just submit that stress, that heart, that concern to him. Say, God, help me. So how do we trade our complaints for joy? Let's look at these Israelites again, because they're crazy. These ones. Exodus 16, 32 to 33. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations. Now, what's he talking about? The food that was raining down from heaven, all right? Food raining down from heaven, all right? The Lord told Moses, and Moses instructed them, let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread of which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. What's in your jar? When God made food fall from the sky for the Israelites, he instructed Moses to take some of it and stick it in a jar. So later on, they would be able to remember what God had done. So later on, in a time of struggle, in a time of weakness, they could look at that jar and go, remember that time that food fell out of the sky for 40 years? Remember that time? How amazing was that? They put it in the jar so they could remember what God has done. So what's in your jar? What have you forgotten about God? What has he done in your life that you've forgotten about? Where have you hidden your first love? Where did that jar of manna get to? Where is your jar? Maybe you don't have a jar. Maybe you haven't actually sat down and put anything in the jar. Maybe you've never sat down and thought about what God's done in your life. I want to encourage you to think about that tonight. Think about what is in my jar. Can I have the band come back up? Maybe tonight you could begin to write it down. Start to journal the miracles that God has done. And your journal could become like Moses' jar. Like his jar of manna, his jar of miracles to remind me, God's really good. God's really quite fantastic. I've got to tell you, though, the jar is useless if you never look at it. It's useless. I want to encourage you to put some things in the jar. Write them down in a journal. And in that time where you're starting to feel overwhelmed and overburdened and stressed out, it might be time to look at your jar. I want to remind you to never, ever forget how good God's been. Would you stand up with me? When I think about our church, I'm absolutely amazed and overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Amazed. 50-odd people 4.5 years ago, 600 to 700 people on Sundays now. Like, we got to write this stuff down. I have written it down. And I look back, I'm like, man, my jar is so full. When I look at the things that God's done in my life, from the global financial crisis and losing nearly a couple of $100,000 and everything we had to now owning a house, great cars, great kids, good health, and a nice pair of shoes. I go, my jar is really full. I look at my wife and four healthy kids. They're in my jar. They're in my jar. I go, Ma, I got a nice jar. What's in your jar? You need to look at your jar and ask God to help that jar inspire you back to a place where you remember your first love and how good God's been in your life. Because I don't want to have an ironic Christmas that's all about the Prince of Peace while I'm freaking out about the little things. Would you close your eyes for me? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus or you're far away from Him, and I want to tell you, open your jar today and watch Him flood it with miracles. Give Him your life today and watch Him flood that thing full of miracles and moments where He comes in and just does incredible things in your life. The first thing He wants to do is forgive everything you've ever done wrong, and then take away every shame and fear and hurt that you've ever carried. He wants to take the consequence and pain that comes as a result of the things you've done wrong. He wants to wear that Himself and send it as far away as the east is from the west eternally. Would you open your jar to Him today and say, God, I give you my life. Make a miracle of it today.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.